Ah, yes. We ask the question, will Jesus return?
And the answer is, he never left. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, Church of God Unlimited, and the Absolute Monastery, and many other wonderful organizations, all here on the campus of the University of Healing. And this is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, the Dean, bringing you Bible stories. Did Jesus say he was going to come back? No. He just said, I'm leaving. And in saying I'm leaving, he left a lot of people feeling, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Well, how interesting it is. As Jesus was with the disciples, and he spent 3 years with them and teaching them and training them in the philosophy that he believed in, the disciples didn't pick it up too fast, it seemed. We hear very little about what the disciples have done, if anything. Maybe a little about Peter. And of course, Paul was never a disciple, but he sure had a lot to say. He listened to the divine within. But is Jesus going to come back? Well, think about how we think about Jesus. If you're into the Bible at all, or if you're a Bible scholar or student of the Bible, or you've studied it, or you read it now and then, you find the stories charming and very powerful if you really give them a chance. But the stories are tales of the activities of Jesus and how he spoke to his world in his time and how he lifted up the hearts and minds of people to a new height, a new direction that he lived and believed in himself. Now, we know of Napoleon. He was a great leader of men, and he was a great leader of the nation as an emperor, and he accomplished wonderful things. Now, we read about him, or we study him, or we think about Napoleon, and Napoleon is a very real vision in our life, a very real person, even though his physical body may appear not to be here. He is mentally, physically, and spiritually very powerful in our mind every time we think about him. Now, if we think about any of the previous presidents of the United States, like President Roosevelt, if you had been living in his time, you would have thought, my, what an outstanding man. Or you hear the stories of Ronald Reagan and how he lived his life and how he was active and how he was a B-movie actor. He wasn't even an A-movie actor, the top of the line. And he was the governor of California, and he was the president of the United States, and he was head of the Screen Guild Actors Association, and many other things. And he did all these things just because they were fun. He didn't do them because he needed to. He did them because they were fun. And that was the joy he had in life. Now, all his acting was for fun. He wasn't trying to be a professional actor. He was just a good actor. And the roles that he played left many memorable feelings and attitudes in the minds of the people who recall his movies. And then we have other people. We have great leaders of the United Nations. We have Golda Meir. We have our leaders from Africa, our leaders from all countries of the world. And we think about these men. We think about these women. And what do we think about these men and women? Well, we think about their life, and we think about the things that they have contributed to the world, and we think about how they live their life. Mahatma Gandhi and Sai Baba and many other interesting people, Buddha and Lao Tse, Confucius, you know, all these great and wonderful people. We hear about them, we think about them, We read their lives. We read the tales of how they lived and what sort of people they were. And all of them were people who were very sincere about what they believed, and they lived it every moment of their life, and they left a living memento of what they believed by how they lived their life. Now, will these people ever die? Oh, they're already dead. Yeah, their physical bodies may be left behind, but their mental, spiritual, and physical reality are always out front. They're always dancing before our eyes and singing the songs of magic and wonder that they found in the world and that they gave to the world. Marvelous, amazing beings. Truly amazing beings. And yet, do we think that Ronald Reagan is going to come back again since he's left this physical plane? Do we think that President Roosevelt is going to come back? Do we think that other great people are going to come back? The Buddha is going to come back? Or anyone? Well, no, we don't think it. We know it. We know that they never left. Because their monument to their thought, their monument to what they believed, lives on strongly, powerfully, wonderfully in each one of us. For as all time is now and all space is here, and as we are all people and all people are us, and we are every great person that ever lived, and we are every insignificant person that ever lived. These are fantastic. Very fantastic people who just continue to live on and on and on in the minds and hearts of the world, who presumably had never met them, had never seen them, had only read about them or heard about them, and yet they live dynamically vital and beautiful. Writing, reading, talking, acting, movies, stories, make these people and their lives and their beliefs a live virtue for each of us. And this is how Jesus lives on. He never died. We say, well, they buried his physical body. Well, not really. But even if they buried his physical body, it makes no difference. What makes the difference is when they spoke their words, when Jesus spoke his words, it left an impact upon the universe that no book could ever transcribe. No orator could ever reveal or relate in any way. These vibrations stand in the rocks. They stand in the air. They stand in every atom that exists in the universe. Every atom vibrates with the philosophy of Jesus. Every atom throughout the entire universe is God. Every atom has within it the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the no beginning, no ending of everything. And we listen. We think we're listening within, but we're listening to the universal allness that we are, just as we are atoms in our structure too. And as we listen, wonderful and great and marvelous things take place. And as we listen, all that is, if you will say, ever could be or ever is, all that is known in us right now, and we live according to what we know, we are according to what we know, and all is good and very good. Sounds like a very fascinating idea, doesn't it? That's really the way Jesus the Christ lives on. So many people say, Jesus the Christ. Well, now, that's a misnomer. Jesus was the man, the human principle, and the Christ was the divine reality that is in every being. It's not just in Jesus that the Christ expressed itself. Most nobly, he lived what he believed, as we can too, and many, many do. Many, millions, billions of people on the face of the earth live that Christ consciousness so powerfully, so beautifully, so wonderfully, and the rest of the world doesn't really know about it because the rest of the world may not be tuned in to what those people are doing. So what sort of meditation, what sort of introspection, what sort of awareness, what sort of revelation do you have of whatever life is? Do you look at life as a challenge, or do you look at life as a revealed goodness, a revealed harmony, revealed life of joy and goodness and harmony that's beyond words, that's beyond imagination? That's truly what it is. When I can look at life through the eyes of my inner divine self, my life is so beautiful and so wonderful and so thrilling that I have no words to describe it. But this is true for all of us. We have no words to describe all of the quality that we are. We have no words to describe all of the goodness that we are. We have no words to describe it. Now, do you want to describe it? Do you want to determine where the goodness lay in you, around you, about you? Do you want to? Well, if you do, then get busy with it. Get busy with it right now and enjoy all that it is. Because Bible stories are fascinating. History is fascinating. Science is fascinating. Science fiction and fiction and fairy tales are fascinating too. All are true. All are true. The simple statement, according to your belief, it's done unto you. My goodness, we can have such strange beliefs. We can have beliefs that are fantastic, beliefs that are outrageous. Belief that we can walk on water, that we can fly to the moon without any type of vehicle, that we can travel, teleport, and telegraph anything that we have in our mind or consciousness to whomever we wish and have them fully understand it. No guesswork. No, none of this sort of feeling that mysticism or you know it's you. You're, someone is talking to me and I think it's your father. You know, nothing like that. It's, you know it, your father is talking to me, and he is telling me this right out front. There's no secrets, there's nothing hidden, and this is so wonderful. In spiritual reality, there is nothing hidden. There is nothing to be revealed, there's nothing to be known to us. We just open up our eyes and open up our inner awareness, and there it is, fully, completely revealed. Fully, completely made known to us where we can enjoy it and be one with it. How fantastic that is. Now, are we ready for such a thing? Are we ready for such magic, for such an interesting, introspective idea about Jesus, about the Bible? What should we believe? And why should we believe anything at all? If I were to think my thought, and think my thought irrelevant, without any relationship to anybody, anything, anywhere, without a relationship to thinking it's God, or thinking it's Jesus, or thinking it's the Christ, or thinking that it's somebody giving me thoughts, or myself. If I were to think my thoughts and just say, hey, they're my thoughts, they're good. And if I were to tell you my thoughts, you'd say, you are just a little bit wacky. And yet, if the Big Bang Theory was told a few years before, before mankind was ready to perceive it and understand it, that scientist would have been thought to be wacky. Medical discoveries in this field of science are here and here and here and continually here. And what do scientists want to do? Well, scientists are afraid that the medical discoveries that they find might not be beneficial. And so they want to test it and test it and test it. Well, I assure you, if a scientist is informed if a scientist has revealed to him some wonderful program, and he believes in what is revealed to him, absolutely believes it, tests it on himself. If he absolutely believes it, then it is so. However, because they are afraid of it, because it's untested, untried, unknown to humanity, they're afraid of it. And because they're afraid of it, it doesn't work. It's not a matter that it doesn't work because it doesn't work. It doesn't work because they are afraid of it. And they want to check it and check it and check it. And then, as they check it and check it and check it, finally they come up with the realization that it does work. Meanwhile, many years have gone by between the time of revelation and the time of enjoying it. Well, this is true of many things. It is true of many things. We know how to walk on fire. We call it cool, wet, and moist. We just give it another name. We know how to heal the sick, and we heal the sick by calling them whole and perfect. We know how to raise the dead. We know how to see all life immortal, continuing on without any pause. We know these things. We know these things, and we've seen these things, and we've realized these things. However, we choose not to stand by it. And the reason we choose not to stand by it is because we don't want to look funny in the eyes of our peers, our neighbors, our friends. And who cares? Who cares? If you were a billionaire and your neighbors were just thousandaires, they would look at you and think that you're strange. And they would be jealous of you, and they would be eager to help you spend your money. And you see, they don't believe that you're strange. They don't believe you're unusual. They know you are, and they don't call it that. Now, what if you had no money whatsoever, and you just lived, had rags to wear and poor food to eat, and you were just a very poor, sad person from humanity's point of view? And then people came to interview you and talk with you, just to talk, not necessarily for publication or anything like that, but just to talk to you. And when they're done talking with you, they feel like they are in bliss because you are so content with yourself. You're so fulfilled with yourself. You're so rewarded with yourself. You feel just utterly great. Now, what are you ready for? What kind of thing are you ready for? Are you ready to really be all that you are? If you're ready to be all that you already are, you watch. You'll have the opportunity to do it very quickly. Because now is the time. And it is done now, according to our thinking. So, dream your wildest dreams. Be crazy, be outlandish, and just watch that what was thought to be strange was not. In the days of Jesus, as they are in today, every tenth person was a Messiah, coming along with wonderful messages of love and truth and goodness. Today, every tenth person is a Messiah too, coming up with beautiful thoughts, beautiful ideas, a beautiful way of living. Now, you and I, in our thinking, can think everyone is a Messiah, and everyone is living what they believe, and everyone is happy as they can be. Now, is there anything more wonderful than that? Or does that pretty well cover it? I think it pretty well covers it. Enjoy your journeys through the Bible. Enjoy your journeys through the books of wisdom. Enjoy your journey through the pathway of life that is exciting and revealing. But most of all, enjoy your path to the very center of your being, if one can say that, but to the inner depths, the inner profundity of yourself. enjoy your path there and watch how both wonderful, exciting, and enjoyable it can be. Know this is your reality now, and enjoy it thoroughly. I love you. I love you. I love you.